Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. This is the third of the four gospels. It is also the first volume of the section of work that Luke wrote. It sort of flows right into the Acts of the Apostles, both written by the same gospel writer. The Gospel of Luke being about Jesus' earthly ministry here on earth, and the book of the Acts being about the early church and how it began. This passage is from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53, and you can find this on page 1644 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Then he said to them, he being Jesus, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. It's been 2 weeks since I stood in this pulpit to preach, and it has felt weird. I actually planned out the entire summer sermon series because I didn't know what else to do with myself last week when I didn't have a sermon to write. At least last week I wasn't on full vacation, so I could work on planning ahead and have something to do with myself. I hear this is pretty common among pastors, but I'm very bad at relaxing. You can ask my husband about vacation itineraries sometime if you don't believe that. I live to be busy. But the week I was on vacation, I knew that I had a race coming up and I needed to be as lazy as possible so I could let my body rest. So while I was sitting around on vacation, not writing a sermon, I started watching a TV show called AD, The Story Continues. It's a series that starts with Jesus' trial and crucifixion, and it follows the disciples through the days of the early church and the development of Christianity as a faith community. To be honest, I expected to hate it, but as a pastor, it felt like my duty to at least watch one episode so I knew what it was about. I assumed that it would be cheesy and not very biblical, because let's face it, television rarely does justice to the stories of the Bible, let alone its purpose or theology. But as a matter of fact, this show is not terrible. I mean, it's not going to win an Emmy anytime soon, that's for sure, but it's not a total waste of time. It's decent. It doesn't try to explain away the miracles of Jesus or make him out to be nothing more than a zealous rabbi who had a run-in with the wrong people. It really does tell the story as written in the Bible. There are a few creative little side stories that don't really add or take away from anything, but it sticks pretty true to Scripture. Now, as I expected, it is pretty corny, and it's a bit overacted, and the special effects leave a bit to be desired, but overall, I don't hate it. How's that for a review? I like it enough that I've kept watching it for a few weeks now. It's been interesting to watch this show at this time of year, because it's hitting at the right time in the liturgical calendar. That's our fancy word for the church calendar of holidays and celebrations. So I've been really attuned to what stories are in the show and which ones are coming up in the lectionary, the fancy word for our list of what scriptures go best with what church holidays. With this in mind, I was particularly struck by the episode in which the Ascension happens. One minute, Jesus is talking to the disciples about their mission that he's leaving with them, and the next moment, he's just gone. There's a little bit of light in the clouds as he trudges dramatically up a mountain with some corny music playing in the background, and then zip, that's it. Up he goes, and his disciples are left to get on with their mission. They stick around in Jerusalem for a bit until the Holy Spirit comes, but even when they're there, they're starting to spread the gospel to the people in the city. I thought for sure they had to have shortened this story in the TV show for editing reasons, time constraints, but when we turn to the passage in Luke this morning, it looks pretty much the same. This is weird because theologically, the Ascension is really important. It shows us who Jesus really is. Jesus is God reigning in heaven. But when we look at the biblical narrative, the Ascension is such a tiny moment. It's pretty stark. One minute Jesus is there, and then poof, up in heaven. There are all sorts of interpretations about how the Ascension worked or what it looked like. Did Jesus just sort of float up? Did he vanish? Did he hop on a cloud and ride it off into the sky? Luke doesn't seem to care much about the mechanics of this. Even in Luke's second volume, the book of the Acts that I mentioned earlier, he does mention a cloud, but he's still not terribly informative about what that meant or looked like. This is one of those moments in the Bible where obsessing over the how can get us in trouble. It can derail us from finding the point. There's something else interesting about this passage where Jesus physically leaves earth. We hear about how people are taking God out of schools. We hear about people taking the Christ out of Christmas, or taking God out of our government, or taking Jesus out of fill in the blank. And granted, it's really nice to see our faith held up as the model for a good life, and it's wonderful to be surrounded by people who believe what we do in this age after the Ascension. It can be lonely down here when we think about Jesus being all the way up there, sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But the Ascension shows us that humans can't take God out of anything. God is the one calling the shots, not us. We give ourselves too much credit when we think that people can take Jesus out of the world. The Ascension shows us that while Jesus is no longer physically walking on the earth in the same way that you and I do, Jesus isn't gone. God hasn't removed God's self from the face of the planet to just leave us hanging for a while. When we leave things black and white like that, where either Jesus is here or there, God is in or not, we have gotten too caught up in the mechanics, and we've missed these words that Jesus left. We haven't actually grabbed a hold of the point of the Ascension. Look at how Jesus leaves the disciples. He's clearly preparing the disciples for a ministry once he's no longer with them physically. Jesus knows his time is limited. The disciples know Jesus' time is limited. But there's no tearful goodbye. There's no panic over what are we going to do without you, Jesus? Never once do they cry out that someone is taking Jesus out of Jerusalem. We can see by Jesus' words that we are to be witnesses to the gospel, to spread the story of the resurrection. And the disciples don't seem to be one tiny bit worried about the fact that Jesus is no longer physically with them as they embark on this work. So what are we missing that the disciples got? Jesus didn't leave the disciples alone to figure things out by themselves when he ascended. Jesus didn't suddenly become some distant God who was no longer active in their lives. The point is not that Jesus was physically on earth one moment, then in heaven the next. The point was that in that moment, the disciples were reassured that the resurrection is real, that it is complete, and that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. And in that moment, they were not abandoned by Jesus. They were given space to begin their own mission. If Jesus had stayed, they would have still been following Jesus around all of the time, and sort of watching his ministry, rather than branching out around the world to spread the gospel on their own. The disciples were left physically without Jesus, and there was some time between the ascension and the day that the promised Spirit came to inspire the disciples, but they didn't panic in that time. God wasn't gone, and they knew it. Jesus didn't just leave them hanging. So they went, and they started to spread the gospel, knowing that because God would be faithful to the promise he made of the Holy Spirit, they needed to be faithful to Jesus' command to love one another and to spread the good news. There's a movement out there. It's been around for a while. It's not new. It's called the Historical Jesus Movement. Their purpose is to figure out who Jesus was, historically speaking. They want to track down exactly what happened and exactly what did Jesus say versus what might the gospel writers have paraphrased. They write popular books and they make appearances on the History Channel. And I think that their motives are good, generally speaking. I don't think they're out to hurt people or destroy the faith. And some of them are genuinely trying to figure out what's going on with their faith and what's at the root of these stories that we Christians tell. My problem with this movement is that it misses the point. We see these TV shows or read these books that talk about who Jesus was, but the ascension isn't a story about a goodbye. Jesus didn't stop interacting with people after popping back off into heaven. We haven't been left in a world without Jesus, where he's a historical figure, no longer active in our lives or our world. No matter how much support or disdain we see for our faith in the world around us, nobody can ever take God out of anything. And God has not taken God's self out of the world. We may not always be able to see Jesus clearly in the world around us, now that he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but the point of the ascension is that Jesus' earthly mission is complete, and now God's mission is accomplished through us. Jesus isn't gone. Jesus dwells in each of us. The ascension doesn't separate us from Jesus. It gives us the space we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. The Holy Spirit awakens our faith, and now in the days since Jesus' ascension, we are, in a sense, the presence of Jesus in the world. In that TV show I was talking about at the beginning of the sermon, there's something that I thought was very interesting. I expected it to be a show about Jesus, a mini-series about the Passion, and it's not. It's not a show about Jesus. And I think that's okay. I think that's a good thing. We're living in a time called AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And the show AD is about the time after Jesus' earthly ministry. So it's right that it's about the disciples. It's about us, the beginning of the church. And it's right that they don't panic when Jesus leaves. We have a lot of movies and TV shows and books exploring Jesus' time on earth, but not that many exploring how the church developed and what that means for us today. Friends, we aren't living in the year after our Lord. We are living in the year of our Lord. Jesus is still here. Jesus is still active in each of us. And consequently, Jesus is still active in the world. God isn't done with us. We're not just riding out some indefinite time before Jesus shows up again. So when we talk about Jesus, we should use caution to refer to who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. Not who Jesus was or what Jesus was doing. Because if we worry about the part where Jesus leaves and we forget about what he has left with the disciples to do and what he has charged the disciples with, we've missed the point of the ascension. Next week, we will celebrate Pentecost. It's one of my favorite church holidays, partly just because I love to see such a large group of people all wearing the same color at the same time. But this is the day when we remember the Holy Spirit descending on the disciples, when they were inspired to spread the gospel to people of all races and languages, languages they'd never spoken before in their lives. Now we know that Pentecost is coming, even though Jesus has ascended. But the disciples didn't have a church calendar to tell them when to expect the Holy Spirit's fire show. Yet off they went to spread the gospel, knowing that they hadn't been left alone. The presence of Jesus is still in this world. God can't be taken out of anywhere. We are not that clever or powerful. And we've been left with the Holy Spirit to guide us in doing God's work. So as you go out this week into a world that is often hard to see hope for, a world that seems as though God has forgotten parts of it, a world in which God has been forgotten by parts of it, a world in which sometimes we think humans have removed God from, remember that God is too big to be taken out of anywhere. Jesus Christ, the reigning Lord, can't be removed on our terms. God has not left us. Jesus didn't go away to never be seen again. Jesus is living and active in each one of us. Amen.